Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
The comics we're going to be talking about in this episode are from the December 2009 previews. These are books that should start coming out around February of 2010, with some things, you know, trickling out a little bit later than that. As always, we start at the front, we go through the back, we do not go page by page, item by item, because there's like a few thousand things in each catalog every month. And that would just be insane. We do try to hit the highlights, both of what we think is good and what our listeners think is good, so we have an open submission policy. The deadline for that is usually the second Friday after previews comes out, although the online solicits are usually available a week earlier. And all we ask is that you send in a short minute or two clip in a mono MP3 format saying, hey, you know, this is a comic I'm interested in or whatever. And, you know, feel free to, you know, hype your own podcast or anything else if you've got that too. And creators are more than welcome to submit clips on their own stuff. And we do ask that if you're going to send in a clip that you go to our forum and kind of, you know, place dibs on that just so we can get as wide a variety of items as possible and kind of prevent people from sort of doubling up on the same item.
That's also a good place. As soon as the solicits start hitting online, I will generally post links to either Newsarama or Comics Continuum or comic book resources wherever the solicits are. So if you're not someone who regularly is prowling around all the different comics news sites, and a lot of times those solicits, once they fall off the front page, are kind of difficult to hunt down. You can get the links in one place to pretty much all of the online solicits that I've been able to find up on the web.
I find that very helpful myself, Bob, so I appreciate you doing that.
I find it helpful for my own self. Once
once you find them.
Once I find them once, I don't have to look for them again.
Yeah. Okay, starting us off in Dark Horse, we've got our first clip. Let's listen to that.
On page 40 of previews, I'd like to recommend Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 32. Let me start off by saying, I'm not a Buffy person. I've just started watching season 1, I'm on episode 5, and I've seen the movie, and that's really about it. That's the sum of my exposure to this property. Generally, I don't follow TV properties to comics, as they never seem to translate well. That said, I'm looking forward to reading this particular 5-part story arc for a reason that can be summed up in 2 words. Brad Meltzer. Brad Meltzer is the writer, and I'm willing to read what he puts out regardless of what property he's penning. He wrote DC Comics Identity Crisis, which was one of the best miniseries I've read from either of the major publishers. He worked on the early Justice League run, which included issue number 11 titled The Walls, which he won an Eisner Award for. He's good. He's a novelist. He knows what he's doing. I have no idea how Buffy purists will receive his work, but I suspect they'll be very happy with it. I'm hoping this run will provide the emphasis for me to keep Buffy on my pull list after the arc is concluded. And let me give props to the artist, Georges Gentry. Looking at his work online, his renditions of the characters provide what I consider appropriate comic book look while allowing past TV viewers to easily recognize the characters. So why do you want to buy it? Brad Meltzer. If you're not a Buffy person, this could make you one. Now back to the guys.
I think he's got a good point about Georges Gentry's ability to do both very appropriate comic book art and really good likenesses for the characters. I mean, I've been reading this season 8 of Buffy since it started, and every issue the characters always look very much, you know, like the actors, but not one of those where it's clearly, it was kind of like, you know, traced over sort of a thing. There's some people who can do good likenesses, but if they get it, the character, you know, at an angle they don't have a photo reference for, whatever, it starts to kind of get a little shaky or whatever. Hasn't happened in this series, and I'm loving this series, and I'm looking forward to see what Brad Meltzer's going to do with it for his 5-issue arc. And really, I think that's the only pick we've got from Dark Horse this month. Kind of a light month for us for Dark Horse, but we've got quite a few from DC, so let's hop over to that with our first pick from there.
Hi, this is Hassan from the forum. Before I give out my first recommendation, I'd like to thank Bob and John for having me on this program. My first recommendation can be found on page 70 in the previews. It's actually in the DC section. It is Batman Robin 8 and 9. It is written by Grant Morrison. Art and variant covers by Cameron Stewart. Covers by Frank Quarley. Now, yes, I said 8 and 9. It is double shipping in the month of February, which is awesome, because we had a skip month in December. Now, the reason why DC skipped a month for Batman Robin is not because of lateness. Apparently, it's because of something that we revealed in Blackest Night that impact Batman and Robin. So they didn't want to spoil Batman and Robin, so they skip a month. The issue 7 comes out in January, and then the double shipping, 8 and 9. The title of this arc is called Blackest Night. And instead of N-I-G-H-T, it's spelled K-N-I-G-H-T. So it's a play on words. I'm looking forward to it. As you can see from the cover that's shown, and that's issue 8 in the previews, you see a Batman rising from some fire lava with Batman and Batwoman watching. There's also guest stars, the Knight and Squire, who's actually been featured in Grant Morrison's Batman run so far a couple of times, and they first appear in JLA Cast of Flies 1, 2, 3. So I've been pretty, like, loving this series, actually, since issue 1. Obviously, Frank Quarley is the best artist on the book, but I think that Cameron Stewart is going to do a great job as well. Cameron Stewart has worked many times with Grant Morrison in the past, so I think they have a good relationship, and I think Cameron Stewart tends to get more of the storytelling better with Grant Morrison than other artists, excluding Frank Quarley, who I think is the best artist to work with Grant Morrison. I do suspect, even though it's not a Blackest Night crossover officially, that it does tie somewhat in Blackest Night, especially what, assuming what happened in issue 5. So I highly recommend it. The retail price for both issues is $2.99. But you could get it at a discounted price at discount comic book stores. Now back to Bob and John.
I wonder if they're going to be, kind of tying up that whole, status of Batman thing that they left at the end of the last event where, is he dead? Is he really transported back through time and in some cave or something? If he's not dead, whose skull is that getting summoned, Batman zombies from in Blackest Night and all that kind of stuff. So maybe we're going to get some very interesting developments there. So if you're following the Batman stuff or the Blackest Night stuff, this might be a good set of issues to make sure you call dibs on with your local comic book store.
Yeah. I'm also wondering, based on that cover, if that's a Lazarus pit.
Oh, yeah, could be.
I mean, that would be an interesting way to, I don't say resurrect Batman, but it would also be an interesting thing to do with a Black Lantern, throw him in a Lazarus pit and see what happens. I'm not sure that'd be a good idea, actually, but could be entertaining. Okay, our next pick, another item from DC. Let's listen to that.
From the DC section, my pick this month is Supergirl number 50, found on page 75. Please note the price on this month's issue is $4.99 because it is an oversized special. The artist on this is Jamal Igle, writer Sterling Gates. This book is one of DC Comics' little hidden gems. The team of Igle and Gates came onto Supergirl back in issue 34 and have been growing the character in a very positive way since then. I've been reading comics since the 60s, and the only time Supergirl had ever made an impression on me was when she died in the Crisis on Infinite Earths. In this team's capable hands, the character is becoming one I'm actually very interested in, hoping the interest as she appears to be integrated more and more into the DC universe as well as the Superman stories. She's being portrayed more as a young woman who's trying to find her way in the world, and she can't always understand a world that she cannot always understand while becoming the hero that everyone expects her to. I mean, come on, she's wearing the red S, one of DC's greatest superheroes, and she's got high expectations to live up to. I'd like to sing the praises of Jamal Ivel's work as well. During his run on this book, he's taken his art up another level, and now he's providing what I consider the definitive look for DC's Supergirl at this time. So why should you buy it? You get a good story, you get good art, you get a hero you can cheer on for some level. And if you follow the DC Universe in general, you'll find yourself a little richer for including this character. Now, back to the guys.
You know, given the haphazard start the Supergirl title has, I got to agree that once Sterling Gates and Jamal Igel got on this book, they really set a clear direction for this, and just an excellent one, in terms of turning both the title and the character around. I'm loving what those guys are doing on the book, and I hope they stick around for another 50 issues.
Yeah, this title has certainly become a top title for me. It went from Supergirl just being, you know, someone who flew around looking, you know, just inappropriately hot for an underage girl. You know, it's like in some of those early issues, and you know, she actually became a almost like a decent role model for, you know, young girls, because they really treat her like a hero now and not just like as, you know,
like a party girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they did a total turnaround there, and they did it in a believable manner, and they've repositioned the character, I think, very well. And you're right, the role model aspect is part of that. There's also going to be a backup story in this written by Helen Slater, who played Supergirl in the movie way back when. So might want to pick it up for that, too. Now, our next pick is on page 77. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS on this, and there's also a 50% discount on that Supergirl 50, by the way, through DCBS. But on page 77, we got Milestone Forever number 1. That's one of two. It's a 48-page book. It is $5.99, and I really enjoyed the Milestone titles back in the day. I thought Static and Icon were the best of the bunch, but it was a cool new look at you know, superheroes and stuff. And the price of $5.99 may seem a little steep, but it is a 48-page comic, so that puts it back towards that, you know, page to penny ratio, more or less on line with other stuff, or at least pretty close to it. And this is being written by Dwayne McDuffie. It's got art from a bunch of the artists who worked on those Milestone titles back in the day. And what this is kind of the final fate of those characters and the Milestone universe, and kind of how it gets folded into the DC universe. Because, of course, Static is over in the Teen Titans. We've seen Hardware, Icon, and a bunch of the others in Justice League recently. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to see how they kind of wrap that old universe up, meld it into the DC universe, and where they go with all of this. Again, I think Static and Icon were, you know, the best of the bunch, but I enjoyed Shadow Cabinet, Blood Syndicate, and some of the others a lot, too. So definitely something I recommend.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it seems like it's a high price, right? But it's a double-length book, so it's really in line.
Well, it's a double-length book, and it's by, you know, a lot of the original creators that worked on these properties back in the day. So it's not like they're right. Doing a reimagining or retooling or just a, you know, trying to leverage the Milestone brand. So
right.
Should be good. Okay, next up, we got another clip. Let's listen to that.
Hi, this is Hassan again. My next recommendation can be found on page 78 in the previous catalog. It's actually in the DC section again. It is Doom Patrol number 7, written by Keith Giffen, art and cover by Matthew Clark, with core feature art in the by Kevin McGuire, which features actually the Men of Men, which has been a really fun core feature. It's one of my favorite core features that DC has actually published. But anyway, what I really want to talk about is the main feature, which is Doom Patrol. Because in Doom Patrol number 7 features Crazy Jane. Now, Crazy Jane, as some people might already know, is actually from Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol run, which is, she first appeared in Doom Patrol number 19. She's a character with multiple powers based on her many, many different different personalities. So it's great that they're bringing her back into DC proper. Actually, she was never really in DC proper because Doom Patrol was, when Grant Morrison first took over Doom Patrol, it was in DC proper, and then they sort of move it to the Vertigo line, and then now, obviously years later, Doom Patrol is back into the DC proper. I like the fact that Keith Giffen has made sure that this particular Doom Patrol has touched upon all the different incarnations of Doom Patrol. In the first issue, it had actually a brief appearance by a couple of characters that John Byrne had in his run of Doom Patrol. I don't recommend going out getting that run, by the way, but let me finish recommending this run. So it's been a lot of fun. I mean, these are great characters. I fell in love with Doom Patrol when I started really picking up New Teen Titans back when Moth Wolfman and George Perez was doing New Teen Titans, and they brought in the Doom Patrol, some of the Doom Patrol characters in the book. The retail price is $3.99, as it has, like I mentioned before, a code feature, so it's extra size. It's 40 pages with story and ads, so I highly recommend it. You can also get it at a good price at Discount Comic Book Service. Now, let's go back to Bob and John.
Yeah, I'm enjoying both the main feature and the Metal and backup feature in the Doom Patrol title. And he's got a good point where, Giffen is acknowledging all the different eras of the Doom Patrol and treating them with some respect and, actually killing off a few characters, I think, that needed killing off. Because, let's face it, there were a couple of points in the Doom Patrol history that were not highlights, and I would agree the Byrne era was probably one of them.
Yeah.
But they've really, done some cool stuff here, and for my money, the backup feature is one of the best backup features DC's got right now with the Metal Men. I hope that's one that eventually graduates at least into a mini-series, if not its own series. Okay, next up on page 80, we've got another pick, and that's Justice Society of America Annual Number 1. It's got a 50% discount through DCBS. Now, we haven't seen much of Haven, the prison city, in a while. I mean, we've seen it touched on, I guess, in maybe the Red Tornado series. I mean, but it hasn't been a prominent thing in the DC universe for a while, but that may change with this, because in this annual, there's this massive breakout from Haven. And it looks like Magog may actually get blamed for some of that. This seems like it's going to be kind of a pivotal story point for JSA, JSA All-Stars, and Magog. So if you're getting any of those books, you may want to check this one out. Certainly if you're getting JSA, you're going to want to check this out. It's written by Keith Giffen and Matthew Sturgis. Sturgis is a frequent writing partner of Bill Willingham, who's doing JSA. And Keith Giffen's doing Magog, whereas Matt Sturgis is doing JSA All-Stars. So, I mean, it should weave into the various stories fairly well. It is a $4.99 cover price, but it is a 56-page book. So, I mean, again, that puts it back in that page to penny ratio that's back at the average these days, even though it is a higher cover price. And again, 50% discount through DCBS. And I'm really enjoying what's going on in the JSA these days, looking forward to the start of the JSA All-Stars, and kind of seeing where they go with this family of titles with this annual.
Now let's move over to a couple of picks from Bill. Jumping forward into the alternate publishing section from DC.
Hi, this is Bill, DBM from the forums, with my first pick of the month. It is on page 98, and it is from Wildstorm. It is Mysterious the Unfathomable, trade paperback. It is 144 pages and $17.99. This is the collection of a six-issue miniseries written by Jeff Parker, who's done a lot of work for Marvel now, and art by Tom Fowler. This is about a washed-up sideshow magician, part mystic, about Mysterious the Magnificent, and his career on the magic circuit has led to him being the most elusive psychic detective available for hire. So he's kind of become a detective for hire. With the help of his newly appointed assistant and personal representative, he solves the most unusual cases of sorcery with ease. I read the first issue of this, in which the new assistant, Ella, begins, and loved it. The writing is good. Jeff Parker is a good writer, and the art is fantastic by Tom Fowler. Tom also draws for Mad magazine, and you can see a touch of classic Mad art in his work if you look at it. So I'm really looking forward to this. Tom was actually on a past episode of the podcast 11 O'Clock Comics, where he went into great detail into the series and what it's about. So I'm really looking forward to this. Now just read a little more of the description. It says, explore the unimaginable world of magic and adventure with an eccentric magician, blah, blah, blah. When a young reporter named Ella becomes Mysterious's new assistant, their cases drag them into a world of magic as well as a pocket dimension and beyond. So this really gets into the, you know, supernatural kind of world. I think it's has a good humor aspect to it as well, and the art is very cartoony and interesting. I've been waiting patiently for this to come out, and it looks like I'm going to have to wait a little longer because it looks like it's advanced solicited, but I'm sure it will be worth the wait. Hi, this is Bill again with my next pick. It's on page 107 from Vertigo. It is Other Lives Hardcover by Peter Bagg. Now, I've been a fan of Peter Bagg's work for quite a while. I used to collect Hate back when it was coming out from Fantagraphics. That's actually one of my favorite series of all time. And I followed him through he had a DC miniseries called Sweatshop. And more recently, he had a miniseries, Apocalypse Nerd. And actually, he had a small Hulk story in Strange Tales. And also had a Spider-Man story from that Marvel brought out. I think it was The Incorrigible Spider-Man or something like that. Anyway, this is a new original hardcover, and the description is, meet three certified geeks, a self-loathing journalist who has seemingly normal girlfriend, a conspiracy theorist who still lives with his mother, and an unemployed gamer who lives in his car. These strangely likable misfits find that dark personal secrets can sometimes be a virtue in other lives. Hilarious original graphic novel by Peter Bagg. The story also explores people's identities, both real and created, and how the two become confused and conflated through the internet and role-playing games. I'm pretty much buying this just based on the fact that I love Peter Bagg's work, his humor, and his art, and I have no doubt that I will love it. There's actually a 3-page preview in previews that you can check out if it interests you, so I encourage you to check it out and see if it's something you might be interested in. Thanks.
Mysterious the Unfathomable is from Wildstorm, and Other Lives hardcovers by Vertigo.
Other Lives, it's an interesting one coming out from Vertigo because Peter Bagg has only, you know, previously done sort of indie type of work. So, you know, stepping up, I'm curious as to how this will sell from Vertigo. You know, putting the Vertigo title on it, is that going to make a big difference? And I've seen some of his Hate, and I think he did that Apocalypse Nerd. Did he do Apocalypse Nerd, John?
I am not sure.
Or is that somebody else? Similar kind of art style. But he does, you know, lots of kind of off-kilter, you know, I guess, kind of humor type of stuff. It's pretty funny. Stuff that I've read of it. I've read some issues of Hate here and there. So they have a few pages, I think about 3 pages of the book here in the previous catalog on pages 108 through 110. So give that a read and see if that looks like something that's appealing.
Okay, next up we've got submissions from Hassan.
Hi, this is Hassan again. With my next recommendation, which can be found in the Vertigo section within DC Comics on page 111, and is DMC number 50. That's right, it's an anniversary issue, and it's written by Brian Ward with art by various artists, including the regular artists Ricardo Burchielli, sorry if I butchered the name, Ryan Kelly, Fabio Moon, J.P. Leon, and others. This has been a fantastic series. I've been loving it since I first read the first trade. I'm recommending issue 50 because it's an anniversary issue. And, you know, with Vertigo issues, there's not a lot of Vertigo comics that actually get to issue 50. So I think it's an anniversary worth celebrating. In fact, Brian Wood once wrote in once said in an interview that he'd be happy if we got to issue 60. So the fact that we're at issue 50 with hopefully no end in sight, that this book will go on to hopefully maybe 100 issues. It's basically a story that takes place in a demilitarized zone in New York City with the main character, Matthew Roth, who is a fortune journalist, the only source of news out of DMC. And in this anniversary issue, is basically a Notes from the Underground is the title of the book. It's an oversized collection of short stories gathered by stranded rookie journalist Matthew Roth on location in the heart of America's Second Civil War. So it sounds like it's a great anniversary issue, plus it's a good jumping on point so that new readers could actually jump on. So I highly recommend this. It's one of my favorite Vertigo books after Fables, and it's one of those that's a must-read. The retail price is $3.99. As I mentioned before, it is oversized, so it's 40 pages of story and ads. However, you could get it at a good price, at, I'm sure, at Discount Comic Service. Thank you. Now back to Bob and John.
Hi, this is Hassan. With my another recommendation, which can be found still in the Vertigo section in the previews catalog on page 115 as Northlanders Volume 3, Blood in the Snow trade paperback. It is written by Brian Ward with various artists, including Dean Armstrong and Vasilis Lolus. I'm really bad with names, so I hope I pronounced those correctly. The collection is actually collecting issues 9, 10, 17 through 20. This collection explores everything from the art of senior combat to the role of women in the biking world. Let me tell you about the premise of the series. It's a series of stories taking place during the time of Vikings, with each arc or story featuring different characters, places, and even time. And just like Ed Brubaker's Criminal series, which is another great series people should be picking up, some of these characters will actually appear in different stories down the road. One interesting tidbit about this series is originally it started out with a proposal that DC asked, or Vertigo asked, Brian Ward to make related Viking prints. It didn't last too long, he said. This didn't feel right, and this whole concept of Vikings came about. I've been loving the book. I read the first two trades. They're both very good. I highly recommend people going out getting volumes 1 and 2. I prefer. The retail price is $14.99, but I'm sure you could get it at DCBS at a much lower price or at in-stock trades later on. Thank you, and I give it back to Bob and John.
I've read some of the Northlanders books. It's kind of an interesting take on it. It's historically accurate in some ways, but then one of the things that one of the early issues he kind of had, he's not going with that convention where, you know, they're talking, you know, like Shakespearean or something like that, like, you know, like Stan Lee always did or something like that. But he doesn't have them speaking. It doesn't seem historically accurate to Vikings either. They have more of a modern speech mode. So it's kind of an interesting book.
Cool. That takes us out of DC and into Image. And our first pick in Image is also from Hassan.
Hi, this is Hassan for one last time. And my last recommendation can be found on page 136 of the previous catalog in the Image section. And it's called Choker Number 1 of 6. It's written by Ben McCool, art and cover by Ben Tempersmith. It's about a character named Johnny Choker Jackson, who was once one of Shotgun City's most promising police officers, who is now a bitter private detective with a terrible case of alien hand syndrome. But he's unexpectedly been offered a job back on the force Friday, he could nail a trusted drug dealer selling a very exclusive product. That is, I was first introduced to this concept when I picked up Liberty Comics number 2 in the fall, which is published by CBLDF for on an annual basis for a benefit. It's a book that has contributions from tons of different creators. It's a really awesome book. I recommend anybody and everyone to pick it up. But anyway, and it was just a really great story. It starred the main character, Choker, along with his partner, Worm, which is, you know, Choker is this big guy, and Worm is obviously a very small, pathetic-looking guy. Really, really entertaining story. Basically, the way the creators described this book, which I read in an interview, is kind of like a hard-boiled detective fable set somewhere, something with a outlandish backdrop, essentially. Like a combination of Raymond Chandler and Philip K. Dick. If that can't convince you to buy this book in previous catalog, which is right after the solicitation, there's a 5-page preview of the first issue. It is an Image book. It's in the Image catalog. It's retail $3.99, but I could imagine that you could get this at a better price either through your local comic shop or through like some online service like DCBS. Anyway, I want to thank Bob and John for having me on this program, and I wish you guys happy holidays. Thanks.
Yeah, this was a book that if Hassan would not have picked to talk about, either Damien or I would have talked about it, because I think both Damien and I are looking forward to any new book with Ben Temple-Smith art in it. Where I'm a big fan, and I believe Damien is also, of anything that Ben does. So, highly recommended just from the standpoint of the art. If you're and again, that's, you know, look at the preview pages in here. You know, if you think that looks cool, then this is probably going to be a book for you. If you're looking at that and saying, I'm not so sure, then maybe not. It's just a lot of people are big fans of Ben, and if you are, this is a not-to-be-missed book. Moving from that, we go to page 148 of the previews catalog with Invincible Returns, number 1. Well, where is Invincible returning from? I didn't know he was gone. But looks like what he's doing is he's returning to his original costume. He had gone to a costume that was more blue, and he's been in that for quite a while. He'll be moving back at the end of the Invincible or the Viltrumite War. At the end of the Invincible War, he's going to be moving back into his original costume, which is going to set us up for the Viltrumite War, which is starting in the subsequent issue of Invincible, which is number 71. They'll be solicited next month. This is supposed to be a standalone issue that is wrapping things up and bringing new readers up to speed. And this is something, if you have not been reading Invincible, it's one of the best, in my opinion, alternate takes on superheroes. And when I say alternate, I mean non-Marvel and DC takes on superheroes out there. I love this book. I started reading it in trades, and I loved it so much that I switched to monthly because I just didn't want to wait, 6 or 7 months in between installments of it. It's near the top of my stack every month when I read it. So if you've never tried Invincible, picking up this 40-page issue to see what it's all about is maybe a good idea.
Yeah, Invincible's a great series, and it's one of those anything-can-happen superhero titles, and one of the few anything-can-happen type superhero titles. Because, you know, he's not limited by corporate mandates or having to, you know, play with other writers in a shared universe like at DC and Marvel and stuff. So they've done a few things here and there that you just wouldn't get anywhere else. Like the one shot or the one issue all-in-one mega crossover storyline, which actually I thought worked very well. This issue, the last time he did a kind of a bring everybody up to speed issue, it was a little exposition heavy, as is, you know, kind of mandated by that. But if you're looking for a way to get up to speed on Invincible, this is a good pick. Next up, we got a clip from Bill. Let's listen to that.
Hi, this is Bill with my next pick, and I'm kind of figuring that Bob and John are going to cover this on their own, but just in case, I thought I'd throw a quick one in there. It's on page 152. It is the Perhaponauts Molly story one-shot. This is the story of the ghost character in Perhaponauts, and it's the story that finally it can be told, the story that everyone has been waiting for, as we reveal the tragic tale of the Perhaponauts resident ghost and how she came to be. So this is a standalone story about how the ghost character in Perhaponauts became a ghost. So I've read some Perhaponauts and enjoyed it, but this particularly intrigues me. I'm not sure what that says about me, that stories where the girls dying and becoming ghosts interest me, but in any case, I'm sure it's going to be a great story, and it's a one-shot, like I said, so it's probably a good way of dipping your toes into the world of the Perhaponauts as well. Thanks.
I actually have not read any of the Perhaponauts stuff.
I have not either, so it was a good call on his part to cover it, because we wouldn't have covered it otherwise. Which, again, this is another good reason why we like having listeners submitting things, because as many books as we read, there are so many books out there, I can't read every book, you know?
Yeah.
It's like there's lots of good books out there, I'm sure, that have completely skipped my radar over time, and this is maybe one of them. So I'm glad he brought this to our attention.
Yeah, same here, because I missed it when we went through previews on the teleconference and stuff, so it skipped by me as well. Okay, next pick is from Damien. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey guys, it's Damien here from the Cryptographic Podcast with my first pick of the month, which is on page 166 from Top Cow. It is Broken Trinity Pandora's Box. Now, this is the start of where Top Cow's going, though. As they've mentioned before, they're actually going to be having a big event, a big crossover event coming out called Artifacts, where apart from the Witchblade, the Darkness, and the Angelus, there is going to be 13 different artifacts out there that are getting released into the world. Now, anyone who read Broken Trinity, the original miniseries that sort of brought all this together, would have realized that we had Finn and Glory, who actually became the bearers of Glacier and Ember Stones. Now, these are another two of the actual, you know, these other artifacts out there. So we know now of five of them. And so, yeah, that's leaving another eight left to go. So this is the start of where Top Cow is starting to bring everything together. So if you want to jump on board, this is where you'll do it. It's 32 pages at $3.99. I would recommend this one if you're all interested in what's happening in the Top Cow universe. If you're getting the Angelus miniseries, if you're getting Witchblade, and if you're getting Darkness like I am, you will have to pick this one up, because they're just going to blow the world right out here. So we haven't seen anything like this before. I really recommend getting this one, and you know, it's written by Rob Levine, who has actually written the Darkness Butcher, and has also got another one shot for the Darkness coming out. So go ahead, go get it. If you're interested in that world, you've never delved into it, this might be a way to get in on it, so you can actually get to see the start of where they're going to go for the Top Cow's big event. Because, to be honest, I don't actually remember any other big events that have gone through there. We've had bits and pieces, you know, in the Witchblade comic, or there was like probably the last event within this world that I can think of would have been going all the way back to when the Darkness first came out as a comic, and it was actually the Family Values one there. So I would recommend going and picking this one up, and I will let you all go back to the guys.
That actually sounds kind of interesting. I don't get a lot of the Top Cow stuff. Matter of fact, I don't get too much of it, but I may have to check out Broken Trinity and see what's going on with this stuff.
Now, they just had a Broken Trinity, I don't know if it was a miniseries or a series of one-shots or something like that, probably within the last 6 months, and this seems to be, you know, the next step of that. This is Broken Trinity Pandora's Box, so if you want to check out the Broken Trinity stuff, there's some stuff that's already out that you might want to look for.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, particularly because they're introducing this Finn and Glory and stuff, but definitely sounds interesting. So glad you mentioned that one too.
And now we'll be moving into Marvel.
Actually, we got one more pick before that.
Oh, do we?
Yep. Got one from Bill.
Ah, indeed, there it is.
So let's listen to that.
This is Bill with my next pick. It is on page 172 of previews from Top Cow. It is Cyber Force Hunter Killer Volume 1 Trade Paperback, written by Mark Waid with art by Kenneth Rocafort. The description here is... this is a tale of conspiracy, high-octane action, and the next-gen technology in a crossover with consequences. The members of Cyberforce and the Hunter Killer Squad must team up to stop Cyberdata and Morningstar from taking control of the world's networks with the Jet. Whatever that means. I'm interested in this for a couple of reasons. The first is I read the first issue of this, and really, I liked the story, and I don't remember... it offhand, I believe one of the teams was going after the other team, and they started fighting. There you go. But the real reason I'm planning on getting this is, I guess there are two reasons: one, Mark Waid; two, Kenneth Rocafort. Mark Waid, you know, goes without saying, he has a great track record and has put out some really quality stuff over the years. Kenneth Rocafort's, I'm not real familiar with what he has done in the past. I have seen some of his work in various places, but I really like his art a lot. I think it's very original and dynamic, and I really like it a lot. Did I say that already? I really like it a lot. So, yeah, check it out if you are interested. Thanks.
I read the first issue of that. We, matter of fact, talked about that on the show. And since then, I've picked up almost all the issues of the Hunter Killer stuff, because I thought it got a really good introduction in that miniseries, or, you know, at least introduction for me. I still got to hunt down one of the issues, but again, Mark Waid, good call. And Kenneth Rocafort did Madame Mirage.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, though, that they're soliciting the trade. It's like, this is one of these series that has suffered for me because of a highly irregular... shipping schedule. I think only the first two issues have come out of it. It's a five-issue series. So I have not seen issues 3, 4, or 5 of this, and they're soliciting the trade.
Yeah, it does seem a little... I'll go with aggressive, but yeah, poor planning.
Well, you know, it also is, you know, gee, do I now, since over 50% of the series has not even hit the stands yet and they're soliciting the trade... do I want to pick up those as single issues, or, you know, just go directly to the trade if I haven't seen it? You know, it's, I really don't approve of companies that solicit trades well in advance of the actual issues being out.
Yeah, I think that's counterproductive because it kills any incentive for some people to pick up the individual issues, like you were just pointing out with this. You know, anyone who hasn't jumped on the series, well, at this point, yeah, they're going to wait for the trade. Whereas if they hadn't announced the trade, people might say, ooh, this sounds interesting, get on board late, and still pick up the individual issues. And that's what's paying for the content creation. I mean, we've talked about this before, and no doubt we'll talk about it again. But yes, I am in agreement. So, but now we hop out of
Image. Now we're ready for Marvel.
Now we're ready for Marvel. All right, first pick from that. Let's listen to it.
Hello, it's Trevor Chapman from Brampton, Ontario, Canada, sometimes co-host of the Monarchs Comic Briefing, and for my first pick for the December 2009 previews for comics shipping in or around February of 2010, you will need to turn to page 24 of your Marvel's previews insert, Ultimate Comics X number 1, written by Jeff Loeb with art by Arthur Adams. The fact that this is a Ultimate comic is pretty cool, but the fact that it's an most likely going to be a X title having to do with mutants, and it's drawn by Arthur Adams. I don't care if it was written by my, you know, one-year-old daughter. I'd be buying it on that premise alone. Jeff Loeb does give it some weight because he's usually pretty good with some of his ideas. Sometimes he goes a little bit off the rails, but I tend to like him overall. Now, the one thing about this comic that is really, really smart from the get-go, from an editorial position, is that they made it bi-monthly. It's not a monthly comic, it's a bi-monthly comic. And the reason that that's a good idea is twofold. One, because of Arthur Adams' attention to detail and art style, it is unlikely that he could pull off a regular monthly comic, so it would probably be consistently late. And lately, Jeff Loeb, with both Ultimatum and Ultimates number 3 before that, was consistently late. Both of them were 5 or 6 issue series, and both of them took over a year, I think, individually to come out. So I think that they went for bi-monthly off the get-go, was really intelligent, and they're setting the benchmark such that no one's going to be going, ah, or complaining, you know, on the internet, as we all tend to do. It's 32 pages, so it's a regular comic. It's $3.99. Being bi-monthly, that technically means it's only a couple of bucks a month. And being as it's the number one issue, I'm certain that DCBS will be offering Wumba discounts on this.
I'm wondering who this new mutant is going to be, and if I had to guess based on this image, I'm going to say Mimic.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Because he's got the claws for Wolverine.
Unlike our esteemed listener here, I am going to say that the thing that's the seller for me on this, is exclusively the Arthur Adams art. Jeff Loeb writing a series is more of a disincentive to me, and I'm not a huge fan of X-Books, but I would pretty much buy anything that Arthur Adams is drawing. So I'm getting this exclusively on the strength of looking at the Art Adams art, and I pretty much don't care what the story's going to be like.
That makes sense. Okay, we got another pick from Trevor. Let's listen to that.
Hello, it's Trevor Chapman again, and for my second pick for December 2009 previews, you would need to turn to page 40 of the Marvel's previews insert, Doom War, number 1 of 5, written by Jonathan Mayberry and penciled by Scott Eaton, Will Conrad, and others. At the same time that Norman Osborn has decided to flex his muscles and take over Asgard, it looks like Doom has decided to take over the one place in the Marvel Universe that's never been conquered, which is Wakanda. So, the fact that it's Doctor Doom and that he's going to be going up against the X-Men and Black Panther and Deadpool and the Fantastic Four really, really makes me interested in how this comic will or won't do. And it stars Doctor Doom, possibly the greatest villain who has ever been made for comics ever, if he's done right. If he's done as the villain who doesn't consider himself to be villainous, just an incredibly arrogant person who figures he knows what's best and what needs to be done, and to prove it, he'll take over the world and run it, you know, better than anybody. So I'm looking forward to this mostly because it's Doom and some of the players that are in it. I'm going to dip in at least for the first issue or two to see how it goes, and then I'll determine it from there. It's a 40-page comic. It's $3.99 regularly priced. Again, a number one issue, so DCBS will most likely be offering a relatively deep discount.
This has a really strong chance of being good, but it does have Deadpool in it. So for me, if there's too much Deadpool, that has a very strong chance of taking this and turning it down a path that I won't enjoy quite so much.
How about Black Panther? If it has too much Black Panther, would that be a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't mind Black. I like Black Panther.
Because we're going to have two Black Panthers in this.
Yeah, I guess you're going to have the female one, too. I really haven't read the new Black Panther series, so.
Yeah, I've got it. That's one of the ones I read the first, and I've piled up all the rest, so I need to catch up on that.
Our next pick's on page 59. We got Secret Warriors number 13, written by Jonathan Hickman, pencils by Stefano Caselli, and this is going to be a sort of a jumping on point. We've got origins, changes, and ending. We're going to see how Strucker and Kraken rebuilt Hydra. Nick Fury is going to have a new direction for the kids that he's been working with. And this series has been hot and cold with me so far. I mean, some issues I love. They're fives. And then the last one we reviewed, it was a relatively weak issue. Some of the other issues have been in the middle, but this title, when it's hitting on all cylinders, is as good as it gets. So I'm really looking for Hickman to turn this one around, and I'm looking for number 13 here. getting us back on track, because some of the really interesting stuff about this is the whole interplay between Hydra and the how S.H.I.E.L.D. was working, and AIM, and a lot of the other secret organizations that are kicking around in the Marvel Universe. And that's the aspect of this title that I really like.
That is the part I think works the best, too. But I agree, this book has some either pacing issues or something. It's not always firing on all cylinders, but when it does, you're right, it's got some really cool stuff. So hopefully they'll figure out how to make that happen every issue. Now, our next pick is on page 70 of the Marvel Previews. It is Wolverine Weapon X number 10. This is billed as a perfect jumping on point. We got a new woman entering Wolverine's life. Now, typically, this is either going to mean that woman's going to try to kill Wolverine, or the woman's going to die, or both, and maybe in the other order. You never know with Wolverine. I'm looking forward to this because it should be a nice change of pace from the current storyline. I just read those first two issues of that five-part thing this morning. And it's got a lot of people getting maimed, having their brains removed, and, kind of a nut house with the asylum, or with the inmates have taken over the asylum, it looks like. And I was a little surprised there was no kind of advisory warning on the cover of those issues of the current storyline. But, Jason Aaron is doing some really good work, even though I'm a little squeamish and find the current storyline something that I'm not entirely sure is suitable, say, for younger readers or squeamish people like myself. This, however, should be some really good stuff. I mean, Wolverine's a very interesting character. What they've been doing in Weapon X since the beginning has been some really good stuff. And this is one that promises to, quote, stop even Wolverine dead in his tracks, which could mean, many, many things. And they are promising that this should be kind of a pivotal issue in Wolverine's overall storyline. And I see no reason to doubt that, particularly being written by Jason Aaron. So we got a 50% discount through DCBS. It is a $3.99 book, but, it's a good quality one. So definitely worth checking out. Okay, our next clip takes us into the collected edition area of the Marvel catalog. Let's listen to that.
My pick from Marvel comes from page 82 on the catalog, Kick-Ass, the premier hardcover. Please note, this is a mature book. It's written by Mark Miller and penciled by John Romita Jr. You gotta admit, the names on the marquee are pretty good, and if nothing else, that should grab your attention. I missed this book when it first came out, mostly because it was set outside the Marvel Universe. From what I hear, it's pretty good, and it's being made into a movie, which is supposed to hit the screen sometime in 2010, so I guess I'll take this chance to maybe read up on it a little bit. So let me give you just a little bit of information from the wiki entry on the character concerning the story. It's about Dave Oziski, an otherwise ordinary New York City high school student and the child of Greg Willer, loving single father, who takes an interest in comic books as an inspiration to become a real-life superhero. He assembles a suit and a mask, which he wears under his normal clothing, begins exercising, and practices things like walking on roofs, fitting his ambitions for a time. He eventually seeks to fight crime, and in his first attempt, at which leads to a severe beating, stabbing by thugs, followed by wandering into the street and being hit by a car. What do you say? Haven't we all dreamed of being a superhero at one time? And this is probably what would have happened to us. So it sounds like a good story, and I'm looking forward to it. Why should you buy it? Well, hey, Romita artwork, Miller writing, and reasonable pricing in a hardcover package makes it a value, and you'll also be ready for the movie when it hits the screens next year. Sounds good to me. Hopefully good to you. Back to you guys.
When this gets turned into a movie, I'm going to be really torn as to whether I watch that or not. And I'll probably wait to DVD in either case, but at which point,
This is a very, very violent comic book. And
yeah.
I would imagine it will be a very violent movie as well.
I imagine it'll be a violent-er movie than the comic, and the comic's pretty damn violent. But it's a very interesting, dark, realistic-ish take on if somebody decided, hey, let's go fight crime. And again, they get the tar beat out of them. So it's definitely worth checking out, both in the the single issues, the hardcover here, and I'm sure the movie will be at least talked about quite a bit. Whether it's liked or not will remain to be seen.
I would imagine, going out on a limb here, probably not, that a trade paperback version of this will be out prior to the movie coming out. So if you don't want to spring for the hardcover version and just want to read it, I would suspect that before the movie comes out, they will have a softcover version of this probably for $16.99.
Almost certainly, I would agree with that. You know, it would be very foolish for them not to do that. Okay, we got another pick from Damien. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again from the Cryptographic Podcast with my next pick for the month, which is on page 83 of the Marvel Previews. Yes, that's it. I said Marvel Previews. Okay, this is one that I don't generally go into that much. Generally, I go through the Marvel Previews first and then go on to finding everything I want in the main catalogue. But this one had something that I actually jumped straight out at me. It is Kabuki Reflections hardcover, written by David Mack, art by David Mack, and cover by David Mack. I have been a big fan of Kabuki for a while now, where it was introduced to me. I think it was actually Brian, my co-host on Cryptographic, actually mentioned it to me. And since then, I've actually been picking up all the trades. But one thing that I've been adoring about it is the actual art itself. So with that being said, this is the ultimate art book for any David Mack fan. It is 320 pages long with the fan for $39.99. It's oversized as well, so it's actually larger than normal print. So you get, as it says here, the first six art books. And what more can you ask? The artwork that David Mack does for Kabuki is just phenomenal. You know, I'm so glad that actually back in the day he listened to the people that were saying, why are you doing what you're doing? You should be doing this other stuff you're scrolling with, when he was actually coming up with the concept for Kabuki. I recommend this to any David Mack fan, any art fan. At least go and check it out. I know you'll go and pick this one up. Okay, then. I'll let you go back to the guys.
And now we've got some Captain America action from Randy.
Hey everybody, this is Randy Z with my one and only pick for this month out of the Marvel catalog. It's on pages, it's actually two picks. It's on pages 94 and 95. The Marvel Masterworks Golden Age Captain America Volume 4 and the Marvel Masterworks Captain America Volume 1 trade paperback. Now, no surprise, you've heard it before, I'm a big Captain America fan. The Golden Age stuff, I love it. Yes, it is simplistic, but it is, they're wonderful stories. It's at this point, it's definitely into the World War II stuff, and I'm kind of a World War II aficionado, I guess you might say. So I love all this kind of stuff. Big Golden Age fan anyway, so it hits my sweet spot. The Marvel Masterworks Captain America trade paperback is basically a good portion of the Tales of Suspense stories of Captain America before it became his own book. I had all these at one point, and unfortunately they're all gone now, so I did supplement that for a while with the DVD collection, but it'd be nice to have one in my hands so that I can read it, and this is an affordable way to do it, especially if you're going through DCBS, like I do. So, not much to tell about those, because I'm sure a lot of you have probably read some of this stuff, and if you're a big Cap fan, this is probably something you may be interested in, and if you're at all curious about Captain America, definitely with the Volume 1 trade paperback, you can't go wrong, because these are great Kirby and Lee stories. You might be a little bit more particular about the Golden Age stuff if you're not a fan of that era, but I suggest you give it a try if you haven't seen it. The other books I'm sure you could probably pick up someplace, but again, this is coming out now, and through DCBS you'd probably get a decent discount on it. So I definitely suggest this. Give it a try, and back to you, Bob and John.
Yeah, some of these are classic stories and stuff. Personally, I lean more towards the Silver Age than the Golden Age in my tastes, but I'm glad that Marvel's making all of these available. I, too, have the DVD collection, but there's something about just having the tangible stuff in your hands that I prefer.
Yeah, and the one that is nice is the second pick that he had for people who, you know, because Marvel is starting to reprint those masterworks in a soft cover format. They cost, you know, about half as much as the hardcover versions of the masterworks. So that Captain America Silver Age Cap Volume 1 that he talked about is the soft cover volume, and it is $25 as opposed to $55 or even $60 that they're charging now for the hardcover versions. So that's a good way, and that's some really good Captain America stuff out of Tales of Suspense, as he pointed out. So that one's very highly recommended, the one on page 95, if you've never read that.
Okay, that takes us out of the Marvel previews into the back half of the regular previews, where we get all of the smaller publishers and stuff. And we've got our first clip from that area. Let's listen to that.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, and I'm a fan of the podcast. This month, I'm looking forward to the Days Missing hardcover from IKEA. It's on page 190 of your December 2009 previews catalog. The story is about an immortal being who travels throughout time, and he'll stop at certain key points in history to try to save mankind. The character is very similar to DC's Phantom Stranger, and this Days Missing character is actually a Gene Roddenberry creation, the same man who created Star Trek. The hardcover collects the first 5 issues of all the 5 issues of the miniseries, and each issue has a different creative team. Phil Hester and Fraser Irving are doing the first and last issues, Phil Hester being the writer and Irving being the artist. The 5th issue was released this week, and I'm really looking forward to see how they wrap it up. I'm also getting this hardcover because it includes sketches, original scripts, and D.L. Keown's original character designs. It says all this here on the full page ad on 191. There's also a website you can go to. It's www.daysmissing.com. It's interesting that they've got previews for all the issues, and there's a contest you can enter to win a bunch of stuff from Arkea. The cover price is $19.95, which I think is fair for hardcover. It's got 144 pages. And once the hardcover comes out, I think I'll just give my issues over to a friend. I think this is going to be a good one. Thanks, Bob and John.
That is a very good price for that hardcover, given the cost of the original 5 issues. Arkea also does some really nice hardcovers. They do a really nice job on the packaging of their hardcovers. And they're always reasonably priced, you know, given the number of units they must sell compared to Marvel and DC. Marvel and DC are typically, price per issue much higher on their hardcovers than Arkea.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is almost on par with how much the individual issues cost. So for a trade, I would consider that a fair price for a hardcover. I think that's a bargain.
It's a steal, yeah.
Kudos to them for doing that. I thought it was an interesting choice to have different creative teams each issue. I've read the first 2 and enjoyed them. I haven't had time to read the other ones yet. But definitely what I've read, I've enjoyed, and I think it's worth checking out, particularly at that kind of a price for a hardcover.
Yep.
Okay, that gets us about to the Avatar section, so of course that gets us to another clip from Damien. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back from Welcome to Heavenside with my next 2 picks for this month, both of them coming from Avatar Press. Yes, you know that I love some Avatar Press, so I've got to do these too. So the first one is on page 199, which is the Ignition City trade paperback or hardcover, depends on how you prefer it. As always, you can get this in three different formats. You can get the standard trade paperback at $19.99, you can get the hardcover at $27.99, or you can get the dual signed hardcover at $49.99. Now, this collected the six issues of Ignition City. As with the majority of actually what Warren Ellis has actually been putting out from through Avatar for late, it's actually been doing it along the Hellboy type thing where you have groups of miniseries. And so this is the collection of the first one. It is your spacefaring retro punk cyber, not even cyberpunk, sorry, you're more of your steampunk type thing going through it, and it is a great romp. If any of you, or most of you, should have at least heard something about this title, I know I'd mentioned it before, but you can't go wrong with some Warren Ellis. As I said, you know, this is a great series. I've mentioned it before, so go and pick this one up. You know, to be honest, for this one, I actually like the dual signed cover as the better one there, though for a very good retrospective sort of science fiction type cover, yeah, the trade paperback does look awesome. But going from that, along the same lines, but what seems to be in a different time period, we have Captain Swing and the Electrical Pirates of the Cindery Islands. Yes, it's a mouthful. Now, this one is what seems to be pure steampunk. You have a policeman who's literally just got out of training, and he keeps on seeing things that he shouldn't see, as it says in here, that flying things that are not supposed to fly, the violent science phantasmagoria that is christened Spring Hill Jack. Basically, this seems to be everything, you know, we want out of steampunk, and I've been sort of interested in steampunk for a while, so that sort of other technology, you know, what would happen if things evolved in the steam-powered version, we have Tesla guns and stuff like this. To be honest, the actual, you know, this is one that I will just pick up. As per usual, you actually get the three covers there. So you get your wraparound cover, you get your standard cover, and you get what they're doing as a Penny Dreadful cover, which is done along the style of the old Penny Dreadful type covers of books. Out of this, I like the standard cover, I would say, the most. It would be hard to find the actually Penny Dreadful cover, so I would like that one if I could see it. And you can see a sample of the art there as well. The art, as I haven't mentioned yet, was by Raul Corriquez, who did Crazy, and he's done a few things with Warren before. And yes, I know I butchered his name. As per usual, this is like your 19th century romp. You've got a page from the actual, or a couple of opening pages there, as it says there. So you've got a couple of opening panels there. I would really recommend this one. Yeah, can't go wrong with anything coming from Avatar, from Warren Ellis. It seems to be his wheelhouse, where everything that he needs to be doing, you know, he can do there. So really, go and pick up these two books if you didn't pick up the issues for Ignition City, but otherwise, you know, it's always good to have a hardcover on the shelf or just a normal trade, depending on what you've got. Go and pick up these two, and I'll let you go back to Bob and John because I've been talking for too long here. Okay, bye.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of a lot of the Avatar books, so this is something I'll be checking out as well. I'm a little less enthused about steampunk, but I'll give Captain Swing a shot and see what it's like. The first issue. Next pick, we're going to skip over to Bongo Comics on page 206. And we've got Simpsons Comics number 163, written and drawn by Sergio Aragonés. And Sergio recently did the Bart Simpson Comics number 50. And he's running a regular feature, just a short feature in Bart Simpson, but he's doing the entire issue of Simpsons Comics number 163, and that is good enough to get me on board to buy this issue because I love Sergio. I mean, I've watched The Simpsons. Simpsons has been on forever. Is there anybody who's never watched an issue of an episode of The Simpsons somewhere along the line? The thing's been on for like 20 years. And Sergio, he does a great job on The Simpsons comic because it's still Sergio's art, but it also looks like Simpsons. And it's a nice blending, and he's got a very visual sense of humor. Anyone who knows him from the marginals that he does in Mad Magazine or any of his other humor comics, you know, he's also known for Gru, but he did a really great job in that Bart Simpson issue that came out a month or two back. So I'm really looking forward to this one, Simpsons Comics number 163. It's a real easy one to overlook, so I wanted to make sure I pointed this one out because it's definitely an issue worth checking out if you're a big fan of Sergio like I am.
Yeah, and his art style is a really good fit for the Simpsons stuff. I mean, it's the kind of thing you look at that cover for Simpsons Comics 163, and you're not going to think, oh, wow, that's Sergio. You're going to think, okay, that's a Simpsons comic. But it's a really, you know, good fit, in again, for his art and that property, so it should be good.
Just looking at that image, you can see what I mean, though, because, you know, you look and say, okay, it's obviously a Simpsons comic, but if you look at it also, it's obviously Sergio's work, too. It's got that definite Sergio style to it, but it still looks sort of on model with Simpson. It's a really nice blending, very interesting how he did that. So,
well, and he tosses so much stuff in the backgrounds and stuff like that, that it's probably going to be a lot more jam-packed issue than normal, I would imagine. So, cool. Okay, our next pick is on page 208. It is Incorruptible number 3. And this is kind of the flip side to the Irredeemable series that Mark Waid's doing over at Boom, where you've got in Irredeemable, a superhero gone bad. In Incorruptible, you've got a supervillain gone good. And I think that's a really good premise. And what I like about this premise that I think is going to give it a little bit of a leg up on Irredeemable is in Irredeemable, there's not really much of a chance the Plutonian's going to wake up one morning and say, oh, you know, this has all been a mistake. I'm just going to go back to being a hero. I think in Incorruptible, this reformed villain, you know, who's going now by Max Daring, there's always that potential he may backslide, you know, go back into his old ways. Now, in this particular issue, he's going to have to go face off with one of his former partners in crime. So I imagine there's going to be that kind of temptation of, you know, is he doing the right thing? Should he really be a good guy? Does he want to go back to his life of crime? You know, how does he make that adjustment? And this just seems like such a rich, you know, area for stories to come out. And, you know, Mark Waid's writing this. He's really good about mining that kind of story material out of good premises. And, you know, I'm looking forward to him expanding the, you know, Irredeemable universe a bit. So, you know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. This issue in particular, you know, where we see his old ally in crime, you know, and all that. And we see, can this supervillain really step up and become a superhero? So, if you're not checking out Irredeemable, do so. But certainly, even if you're not, Incorruptible looks like a lot of fun. We've got a 45% discount on that, so definitely worth checking out. And again, it's Mark Waid.
Okay, and next we're going to flip over to Dynamite Comics on page 222. And we're going to look at Zorro Matanzas. It is a classic tale of Zorro, never before told. I've been really enjoying the Zorro stuff from Dynamite. And this particular miniseries has got it's written by the classic Don McGregor. And it's art and cover by Mike Mayhew. And I love Mike Mayhew's art. We talked to Mike when he was doing Savage, probably a year or so ago. But I just love what Mike does on the art front. So given that I love the character Zorro, I like Don McGregor's writing, I like Mike Mayhew's art, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't like this one. So really looking forward to this miniseries coming out from Dynamite.
Now our next pick is on page 246, and it is from IDW, and it is Star Trek Movie Adaptation Number 1. Now, this is written by the entire writing team from the movie itself. It's got Robert Orkey, Alex Kurtzman, Tim Jones, and Mike Johnson. And, I mean, who better to write the adaptation than the guys who wrote the movie? You know, I mean, they know what's going on there. And they're also going to add in a couple of new scenes, some stuff that was cut from the movie. So it should be a really good adaptation of that. And I've been enjoying what IDW's done in support of the movie. The Star Trek Nero, which they actually are doing trade paperback of on the next page. They did a Spock Reflections storyline. And, of course, they did the Star Trek Countdown that led into the movie. So, you know, they've done really good with the Star Trek property. They've had the writers from the movie involved in all that stuff, so they know how to write comics as well. This just, you know, if you like the movie, which of course I did, and you want a comic adaptation, and I've got the DVD already, but I want to see the new material, I want to see how they adapt it to comics. You know, it just seems like a lot of fun and a good product. And the guy who's doing the art on this, David Messina, is also the one they had for the Star Trek Nero series, so they've worked with this artist before, too. Should be pretty good, 50% discount. It is a $3.99 book, but that's kind of standard price over at IDW. And like I said, I've been very pleased with all the Star Trek stuff they've been doing.
Okay, next we're going to pop over into IDW. Well, actually, we're in IDW. We're going to pop out of the licensed properties of IDW into an original work. It is called Belladonna. It is by Ben Ross, and it's got the artwork by J.K. Woodward. And the main reason I'm getting this is because of the art by J.K. Woodward. I love J.K. Woodward's art, and he's been doing Fallen Angel right here in IDW with Peter David. He has a really beautiful painted style, does some nice color work on the line art. Really, really nice art, and I would buy pretty much anything he does. But the story here sounds pretty interesting, too. I'm going to read the clip from it. It says, Annabelle, a beautiful woman, is gunned down, smashed up, and wakes up with full amnesia after a long coma without any clues to her real identity. But when someone tries to execute her, she learns that she was the world's most vicious assassin. Now she must live under New York City among the homeless, and in the process, she becomes the city's most unlikely hero. So it sounds like it's kind of a tale of redemption. It's going to have some nice visuals. If any previous art by J.K. Woodward is an indication, and just these are the kind of story. I like these kinds of stories, so I'm definitely on board for this one. It's a 48-page, I guess it's a little short to be an original graphic novel, but it's a double size issue, so it's about double the price of a regular book also.
It does sound interesting, and I'd classify it as like a graphic novella or something. So
yeah, and up around maybe 70 or 80 pages, you'd be getting into original graphic novel format or, you know, size or something, right? But, you know, 48 pages, it's like a double issue. But, you know, if it takes off, you know, this might be something that might turn into something more, too. So,
yeah. Okay, we've got another clip from Damien. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with my hidden gem of the month, which is something I sort of was looking through as I did last month and sort of spotted and went, hey, I haven't seen that one before. And this is something that actually comes out of my youth from when I grew up reading 2000 AD amongst other things, and it is Rogue Trooper, Tales from New Earth. This is volume 1 of the graphic novel coming out from Rebellion, and you can find it on page 261, and it's $23.99, 400 pages and black and white. Now, If you don't know who Rogue Trooper was, he was from the far future. He was genetically changed and was an infantryman who was basically set out to fight on this world, which I don't think a normal human could actually survive on. He'd been modified enough so he could actually breathe the air and fight the war, basically. That much is all I can remember of the book as growing up, but I just remember that even though you had Judge Dredd in 2000 AD, I used to always look forward to actually getting into the Rogue Trooper stuff, so that's what had me excited with this, as also with it, the cover's all blue, so hey, you got your normal standard covers that they've been doing for like the Judge Dredd sort of omnibus type ones. But it's all blue. It's blue. It's Rogue Trooper. He's blue. How can you go wrong? This is going to be something that I will pick up just for the, you know, my growing up with it, and because I don't have those issues anymore. So I recommend this. This was great when I was reading it originally, and you know, how can you go wrong? Came from 2000 AD. You know, everything comes from 2000 AD, as they say. I'll let you go back to the guys.
Right. 400 pages for $23.99 is a pretty good deal, too.
Yeah.
Okay, our next pick is on that same page, actually right below that item. It's from Red 5, and it's Atomic Robo and the Revenge of the Vampire Dimension number 1. So you're starting up another 4-issue miniseries here. And, I mean, the high-concept pitch for Atomic Robo is essentially, you know, if Hellboy was a sci-fi property. And it doesn't really do it or Hellboy justice. It's all about Atomic Robo, who's this sentient robot who tends to go fight, you know, sci-fi and supernatural monsters and oddities and stuff like that. And, you know, for my money, it's kind of the de facto cornerstone of the Red 5 comics lineup. I mean, they've done a lot of good stuff at Red 5, and this is the fourth Atomic Robo series?
Or is it I think so, yeah.
I think it's the fourth. And it's a really unique blend of kind of a roller coaster style ride, you know, action adventure comedy thing, with some really, you know, good hardcore sci-fi concepts and some supernatural stuff sprinkled in for good measure. It's got a good sense of humor about it. It takes itself seriously enough, but not too seriously. And you know, it's the second series they did was the weakest of the bunch, but even that was still reasonably good. And the last series they did, I thought, was really solid. The property bounces around in time from miniseries to miniseries. This time around, it's set in 1999 New York City with vampires invading from another dimension. And, I mean, really, how can you go wrong with that? So, this is, I think, one of the best things, like I said, coming out from Red 5. Same creative team they've had on the previous ones. So, should be a lot of fun. It's $3.50. We've got a 45% discount through DCBS. If you haven't checked out Atomic Robo before, I do recommend it and think you'll enjoy it.
Right. And I will enjoy it. I've been loving Atomic Robo since the beginning. Oh, by the way, I'm going to go back and mention we do have a Belladonna trade that I talked about from IDW, we have a 50% DCBS discount on that also, so that it is $3.99 for the 48 pages. So, decent price. Next pick from Radical Comics. Now, Radical, no one should be very surprised if we're talking about Radical, because I love the stuff that Radical puts out. And the pick that I have here is the trade paperback of Shrapnel Aristia Rising. This is a 184-page trade paperback for $14.95. Now, that's not a bad price just on the face of it, but we've got a 45% discount on top of that. So for about $8, you're going to get 184 pages, which is the original 4-issue miniseries, although the first issue was a double size issue. This has got beautiful, beautiful painted art in it, and it's a kind of a sci-fi mech tale. It's set on Venus. You've got a battle going on. You've got some, you know, heroic action from the heroine of this series. It's something that it was a great comic story, and if they make it into a movie, it'll make a great movie. And, you know, basically it's got a very cinematic feel to it, and there's a lot of just action and flow in the artwork too. The painted style and just the way they have some of the diffuse colors, it's just beautiful to look at. And it really benefits from having a lot of pages to tell the story, because it just moves the story along. It's not a wordy comic book. It's much more visual. But the story that is there is just a really good action sci-fi story. It's kind of like that hard sci-fi, you know, space battles, you know, more on the ground, though, you know, with the power armor and the, you know, kind of pulse rifles and things like that. But if you've not checked this one out, this is a really low-cost point of entry to picking up this story and checking it out.
And I would say, if you haven't been checking out the Radical stuff, really it's worth spending a little time in their section of the previews every month, because they're hitting all the different genres, fantasy, sci-fi, crime, horror, and really just doing some good stuff all the way around. Definitely Shrapnel's worth picking up, as is most of their other stuff. Okay, our next pick is on page 272. Let's listen to that.
Hello, Preview Spotlight listeners. On page 272 of December's previews, you'll find the Tomorrow's Publishing solicitation for Age of TV Heroes, a book written by Jason Holfius and myself, George Corey. This full-color hardback book covers the history of the live-action adventures of everyone's favorite comic book heroes. Inside, you'll find plenty of photos, art, and insight with many of the stars of these classic shows, like Linda Carter, Adam West, Nicholas Hammond, Patrick Warburton, amongst many other performers, filmmakers, and comic book luminaries. I promise you that you've never seen the history of these shows so vividly told. This book captures all the awesomeness and splendor of these programs that were embraced by millions. The Age of TV Heroes is a book that's for everyone. For myself, like many, my love for comics started via discovering these shows as a child. The Age of TV Heroes is a joyous celebration to the sense of wonder given to us from television's greatest superheroes. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Tomorrow's tends to do some really good books and magazines and stuff, and this one looks really interesting. Now, For me, I'm more interested in kind of more the Saturday morning, you know, the Captain Marvel, the Isis, that kind of stuff. Although the Nicholas Hammond Spider-Man one is kind of interesting too, because I think the Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman shows have gotten a lot of coverage elsewhere too. Should be interesting. Okay, our next pick is in the book and magazine section. Let's listen to that.
Hello, it's Trevor Chapman again for my third and final pick from the 2009 December previews, and that would be on page 290 in the books and magazines section. It's Dodgem Logic Magazine number 1. Now, as you may or may not know, this is a fanzine of sorts that is being created by Alan Moore, and he's putting his own stuff in it, as well as adding stuff from various people that he's aware of, like his wife is in it, Kevin O'Neill has some art in it, Graham Linehan, and various other things. I don't know what it's actually a fanzine of. It's been described as a fanzine or a magazine. I'm guessing it's just of the peculiar, the offbeat, the typical Alan Moore take, you know, reality, turn it on its head, and put it through a mirror and see what happens. I'm bringing it up basically because most people won't notice it, because it's past the comic book section. It's in the books and magazine section. And I think anybody who's an Alan Moore fan, such as myself, who considers just about anything that Alan Moore has written is at least thought-provoking, good or bad, it's definitely thought-provoking. It's $3.99. It's a 48-page, I guess it's magazine format, and it's being distributed by Knockabout Comics. I don't know exactly how it'll end up coming through to us. It comes with a free CD for the first issue, so that's a bit of a nice little bonus as well. Interesting music that Alan Moore, you know, approves. I'd be afraid to be listening to that with a couple of drinks in me on a dark night. Anyways, thank you very much John and Bob and Chris for the great podcast. Keep it up, and I'll be looking forward to next month.
Okay, and I'm going to toss an extra one, and it's not one that I even knew was coming out when we were doing our extra discount picks with DCBS, but I saw it when we were going through the previews catalog, and it's on page 289. It's the audio book of the Fables novel, Peter and Max, by Bill Willingham. Now, I read this book, and it was an excellent, excellent book. And here we've got a previews exclusive Steelbox CD set. It's the unabridged novel. It's written, it's read by Will Wheaton, Wesley Crusher from Star Trek. It's 9 hours of unabridged storytelling on 8 CDs, and it has an extra short story, The Price of a Happy Ending, and a bonus disc that's got all the MP3 files on a single disc to make it easy to download to your iPod or other MP3 player. So really nice package, $29.99. I'm sure there'll be some kind of a discount of some sort from DCBS on this one. So give that one a look if you're interested in Fables at all. And with that, we will go to our last pick of the month, as is usually the case. It is from our good friend Damien.
Hey guys, it's Damien here with my last pick for the month, and it is all the way in the back on page 294, and it is Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland Visual Companion. It is a book, as I said, it's a visual companion. It is $50 for 192 pages, but it's a 12 by 9 book. Anything by Tim Burton, well, the majority of stuff by Tim Burton, I'll say it that way, I will watch. But Tim Burton putting his twist on Alice in Wonderland is a must-see for anyone. I watched the trailers, I try to keep away from the trailers or anything that's came out since the original one, but you can't go wrong with Tim Burton getting his hands on this property. Now, this is actually a cross between an art book, a behind the scenes, a how they do the CGI type thing. So I would recommend picking it up just for that reason. I've actually picked up other books along those lines, like the actual Hellboy 2 one. They are great for inspiration if you just want to, like, have a look and see how they come up with these concepts. So, and, you know, as we can tell from anything that Tim Burton's done in this sort of style, so like your Nightmare Before Christmas, your Corpse Bride, your Edward Scissorhands, anything along those lines he's going to be bringing into this book. Hopefully he's going to actually take elements from the Alice video game that was produced, has to be over 10 years ago, or getting close to 10 years ago by now. It was actually put out via American McGee, who took that dark and twisted aspect of Alice coming back into Wonderland and sort of not knowing what was going on. So, what can I say? Twisted Alice in Wonderland is what we need. The only thing we need for him next is to get his hands on the Wizard of Oz and to do it the dark fashion as well. Okay, I'll let you go back to the guys. That is it for me for the month. I will talk to you all next month. Remember to go to twitter.com/LordShaper to find me there, or you can go to LordShaper.com to find links to everything that I do, and including the blog there where, you know, there's stuff going up nearly daily. Okay, then, I'll let you go back to Bob and John, and bye.
Okay, well, this is the part of the podcast where we normally say how many explicit items we have ordered and how much we've spent, but for the first time since we've been doing the podcast, DCBS has not gotten the spreadsheet out by the time that we did the show, so I don't know how much exactly I'm spending this month, and I don't know the exact count of items because I normally have it all in the spreadsheet by the time we do this recording.
I think I've got somewhere around like 150, 160 items, but yeah, I'm not sure how much it's totaling up to either. And I am, of course, looking forward to seeing what the discounts are at DCBS this month. Hopefully it'll save me a couple of pennies in the right places, you know.
Yeah, well, we are recording this on Sunday, the 6th of December, and I talked to Zach over at DCBS yesterday, and he said that the DCBS website was going to get updated today, Sunday, at some point. You know, it's the morning of Sunday right now for us. So it should be going up today, but that'll be just after we do this episode, and it's just by necessity since you need time to edit and all that kind of stuff too. So
yeah, we've got a open submission policy on these episodes. The next previews should come out, I believe, on December 23rd. Normally we do the teleconference the second Friday after that. I say normally because in this case that second Friday would be January 1st, so I don't know if we're going to want to do it that week or put it off a week.
Yeah, we're probably not going to do the thing on New Year's Day, so we'll probably do it the following Friday next time. Plus, there's going to be some, since that's a skip week, you know, the last week, it's going to be kind of a question as to when we even get our previews catalogs and stuff, right?
No, that's a good point, because it should come out on the 23rd, but with the holiday shipping and stuff, I would hope we'd get it sometime like that 30th.
Right, but I'm just saying, it's like we'll definitely have it in time to do it the week after New Year's. I'm not sure we'd have it on New Year's Day, because, you know, it's like you're not going to be getting a delivery on New Year's Day, right?
Yeah.
We're probably best off just doing it the week after next month, just to be safe.
Well, that gives everybody an extra week to get their clips in. You know, the solicits should start being available online about a week from now, so you'll have plenty of time to do that. And again, we like getting as many submissions from as many different people covering as many different items as possible. I know there are a couple of things this time around, like both the Belladonna and the Broken Trinity Pandora's Box, that just hadn't hit my radar. So, you know, getting those to be thinking about, gee, do I want to add those to my order or not? I like that. To me, that's the whole reason, you know, I like doing these episodes. Because, I mean, there are comics out there for everybody. The trick is just finding the right comic for each person. And hopefully these preview episodes we're doing help people out with that. So, anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
I think that does it for me.
Cool. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.